Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Arun Vanigopal in for Tanzina Vega. In Yemen, more than 90,000 people have died during the country's years-long war. That's according to the latest totals reported by the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. And the new report from the UN details how violence in the country has particularly impacted Yemen's children. The UN found that more than 7,500 children in Yemen have been either killed or wounded since 2013. But accurate numbers are hard to get, and many experts say the total is likely far higher. Tamer Kirolos is Yemen Country Director for Save the Children. I asked him why children continue to be especially vulnerable in this conflict.
The warring parties have not really abided by international laws, whether humanitarian law or human rights law, which protect children and protect civilians and civilian infrastructure in a conflict. What we've seen is that over the course of the last few years, in terms of the casualties, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. What we've seen is specifically with airstrikes, shelling and other explosive weaponry, specifically in highly dense urban areas, children are much more vulnerable to these, unfortunately, because of their height. They're closer to the ground, which means that the explosion, that they're much more vulnerable to be hit. Their small body mass and size means that it's more likely that shrapnel will hit a vital organ. So in a sense, they're not being specifically targeted, but because of the conflict specifically in urban areas, they have fallen victim to this.
The report mentions that the figures are likely to worsen because monitoring numbers in Yemen is getting more difficult. Why is that?
Well, by and large, of course, because of access. As in any place where you have a conflict, it's harder and harder for the international community, humanitarian community, to actually verify and reach those places where children are being killed or wounded.
Tamer, it's been months since that photo we mentioned by Tyler Hicks of the New York Times. It shows a painfully emaciated girl by the name of Amal Hussein, woke the world up, much of the world up, to the horrors facing kids in Yemen. Clearly, Amal was starving before she died. How big is the starvation problem in Yemen right now, especially when it comes to kids?
Well, unfortunately, we've had over the last 4 years a spike in the number of children who are severely malnourished, acutely malnourished, wasting away. We did an estimate late last year in terms of potentially the numbers that could have died, and we estimate that some 85,000 children could have died because of malnutrition and starvation. It's really terrible because in many instances, the war has created problems with access to food for many families. Poverty has increased. You know, health facilities are not functioning. They're harder to get out. So parents are making very tough decisions about how they use the resources they have. In some cases, come to health facilities or health clinics a bit too late. It is really worrying. And the situation overall in the country in terms of food security, that means the ability, you know, food security is about really whether you know or not where your next meal is coming from. And what we're seeing potentially is the situation getting much, much worse. So unfortunately, and despite all the efforts, things look worse now than they did a few months ago.
So I guess that answers the question I was about to ask you, which is, to what extent did that photo inspire any change from the international community?
Well, to a certain degree, I think there's a combination of issues and factors, political, that did push all the warring parties last December to meet in Stockholm to discuss potential first steps in looking towards a longer-term solution, a peaceful solution, of course, and cessation of hostilities. And there were some very basic agreements in Stockholm, including redeployment of the warring parties around the port city of Hodeida. And unfortunately, since that agreement back on the 13th of December, we're estimating that some 8 children a day continue to be killed or wounded in the conflict. So unfortunately, it hasn't really made the impact and effect that it should have. We need much more effort to make sure that the situation of civilians in Yemen, the conflict and children in Yemen, who are not just being killed and wounded, but also facing trauma in terms of being there, seeing the shelling, losing family members, being displaced. And a lot of them just want to be normal children. So unfortunately, no, it hasn't had the impact that we would have wanted or expected.
For many of us in the West, this is a problem of an invisible war. It's not something that we're necessarily engaging with meaningfully through our media. If you could, give me some sense of the day-to-day life for children who are alive in Yemen right now. What is that like?
Well, as I said, many of these children have been displaced, having to have moved with their families from areas where there's conflict. They struggle to go to school. We have at least 4 million children who don't go to school now in Yemen because the schools aren't functioning or the parents can't afford it. Their families struggle to feed them. They are not protected in many instances. Children face violence because of the conflict, but also because of the stress and the tension within families and the communities. And a lot of them don't see a future. So unfortunately, as I said, this is very bleak for this generation, and I guess for following generations for Yemen if the war does not stop.
I know that access to schools, as you said, has been badly impacted by the conflict. Can you talk about the efforts that are going on to get an education to children who are on the ground? Is that even a priority at this point?
Well, unfortunately, in many humanitarian crises, education isn't a priority. However, as Save the Children and with other partners, with UNICEF and other organizations that are focused also on education in this setting, we have made progress. We are trying our best to basically have catch-up classes for the children who've dropped out, supporting school infrastructure to a certain degree, teacher incentives, you know, to be able to at least get the children in school. And I think the key element here is not just the children getting an education. Schools are a protective environment and can be a protective environment in the case of conflict where children are at risk of so many different dangers. Schools are a great place to help them both deal with the issues in terms of the psychological stress, but also is a protection mechanism. So education has both an educational and protection purpose. We have definitely made inroads, but there's so much more resources needed. And as always, we call for an international community and donors to invest more in education, because it's not just about today, but it's really about the future of the country.
Tamer Karolos is the Yemen Director for Save the Children. Thanks for joining us, Tamer.
Thank you.